Welcome back to Moms in Baseball. This is Stephanie, and it's episode 17, so happy new year.
Hi, this is Diana. Today, we're going to have a different type of episode. We have joining us two of our baseball mom friends. We're going to be talking all about individual Game Day USA and baseball youth events. We're also going to be talking about things like their MVP tags, golden tickets, things like that. And just to make this extra fun, we plan on doing an uncut version of this episode. Hopefully this turns out okay.
That's how we roll. Today we have some special guests. We're going to welcome Amber and Brenda. Amber has a 12U son. His name is Gunnar, and he has experienced several Game Day USAs in baseball youth events. We also have Brenda. Brenda has a 13U son. He also participated in several Game Day events in multiple states. So welcome, Brenda and Amber.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being here. First, let's start a little bit and talk about the Game Day USA events. And I think Brenda probably has the most experience with these, I'm guessing. So maybe we'll start. She's giving me a look. Maybe we'll start here with Brenda. But actually, I'm going to back up just a second. So if you've ever played in a Game Day USA tournament, they always give out these MVP tags after the games, at least for the pool play games. They often don't give enough for the bracket play games. And I guess that could be an issue in and of itself. But if you've ever wondered about what those tags are, what they mean, I mean, we could just go over that briefly. Ladies, have all your sons at some point in time gotten one of those MVP tags?
Yes.
Yes.
And for a lot of you, probably several of them, I'm guessing.
I think, I don't really know. I was trying to remember.
Yeah. But either way, it's kind of irrelevant because once they get one, it seems like they're in, even if they don't get one. So that's what we'll talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
So the MVP tags, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that's sort of Game Day's invitation for you to come join their all-star tournaments. And this is where we're going to talk a little bit about, is this a money grab or is this a legitimate opportunity? And we'll see what everyone has to say. But my guess is at the end of this, the answer is going to be kind of both, a little of both. But because we did learn early on that you don't technically even have to have the MVP tag to get into the tournament. And I know that well, because my son actually was going to sign up for a tournament and he didn't even have an MVP tag. We were going to do a baseball youth event. We'll talk about that a little bit later with Amber, because he'd never gotten an MVP tag. And even though we knew you could kind of nominate your son yourself for these tournaments, it just felt a little weird to do when everybody else that was going had a tag. Luckily for him, he ended up getting a last minute tag right before we went to the event. So it all worked out. But that's just a long explanation for they mean something. I guess the kids like to get them. They like to attach these luggage tags to their bags and show that off. But ultimately, at the end of the day, tag or no tag, you can nominate your kid for one of these Game Day All-Star tournaments. So the latest one we did cost $189. So Brenda, since you've done, or your child has done probably more of these than anyone, maybe just talk a little bit about what these events are like. Like, what do you get for that $189? What's that all-star tournament weekend like?
I was trying to remember when he first went, and I think it was when he was in 10U division. We ended up taking him to this all-star weekend in Ann Arbor because you have choices of where you can go. Mm-hmm. And we just thought we'd go to probably the closest one just because we had no idea what we were getting into. So he went to that. You know, they did, I believe they were able to get four guaranteed games, three pool play and then single elimination bracket. And then they also did skills competitions and measurables, like a home run derby. And then they also measured like their exit velocity for hitting and for pitching. I think they also did like a dash. I think it was maybe a 30-yard dash. And I think they also did, there was one other measurable, but I don't remember what it was.
They did like some sort of infield thing, at least the one we went to, like an accuracy infield throwing type event. I don't know what you would call that.
Was that kind of, was it the medicine ball one?
They did that in Ohio, but I think the one Diana's referring to is kind of like around the horn, sort of. Oh.
Yeah, maybe the one that Brady won, you guys, in Ohio. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they have a bunch of different events, so.
Right.
We'll just leave it at that.
So, but yeah, they, every All-Star weekend that he's gone to, they've pretty much been the same as far as, the organization of the event and what is offered for the most part.
Okay. And, I, since I only went to one of these, they included a game shirt. They did not include a game hat, correct? They got like a floppy hat or something in a right. a little bag, but it's basically a shirt. They got a floppy hat. The events are included. And then in theory, a coach is provided for them.
Right.
So that's what you get for $189. Correct. So, yes, in theory. So yeah, that's what you get for the $189 there. Before Stephanie and Brendan and I talk a little bit more about the specifics with our experience in the Mason, Ohio event, Amber, why don't you talk a little bit about Gunnar's experience with his, did he just do one All-Star tournament with Game Day or did he do two of those? I think he did two. Okay.
I know for a fact he did one in Ann Arbor, but I want to say, I think he did one in Ohio as well. It was the glamour, you know, if you will, of getting the MVP tag. And then, like you said, showing it off on your bag and being excited to go. And we had four of our kids from our local travel team that went to one particular tournament. And, you know, as we move forward and talk about what happens next step from there, it was interesting to me that, you know, we see these kids play every week and the ones that were asked to move forward versus the ones that weren't. It was really surprising based on all the different things that you have to showcase talent along mm-hmm. with playing. Yeah, it was, and the coaching too. I mean, we showed up one time and we didn't even have a coach.
Right. I think I remember you talking about that. I believe somebody's like brother or dad just kind of stepped up last minute and some other dads stepped up to help, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I guess all of you, we'll start with Amber. What did you notice about the level of competition in terms of like what types of the average playing level, skill level of the kids at the All-Star events?
It ranged. I mean, there was some kids that, you know, this was our first initial exposure to it. So we thought it was going to be very elite players. And there was definitely some elite there, but then there was also some there that, and this is just my opinion, not picking on anyone's child, but those that really didn't even look like they have ever played travel ball be there, you know, so it was pretty wide ranged.
Yeah. A lot less experienced players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you notice kind of the same thing, Brenda, or was your experience different?
Nope. I would agree exactly with what Amber said. You had a very wide range of skill and talent and knowledge of the game. I would agree with her 100%.
Okay. And Stephanie, since you and I have only done this once and we were at the same event, I'll say that we agree as well, or at least I do. If we want to talk about the Ohio one a little bit, that was something that actually Brenda's son, my son, and Stephanie's son all went to this past year. There were a total of 9 kids from their travel team that ended up going to this event. And I believe all, if not at least most of them, had received an MVP tag at some point in time. Basically, our team was supposed to go to Cooperstown. That was canceled. All baseball for our team ended pretty early in the season. And I think parents and kids were just itching to do something else. So we all kind of talked and got together and we went to this one in Ohio instead of Michigan because the Michigan one overlapped with a weekend that we were playing ball. So a lot of us went down there. We filled out the buddy requests. And of course, Game Day didn't put all 9 kids on the same team, which was kind of disappointing, but right. We understood. Cause I mean, I feel like it could have been a pretty awesome team, to be honest. Especially when they have the advantage of being used to playing together and everything. And, you know, right. All competitive kids for sure. But they split them up. There were a total of 4 teams. And then, let's see, we had 4 kids on one team from our organization, 3 on another, and then 2 kids on a third team. The fourth team didn't have any of our kids on it. But I will say, I don't know what you guys think about this, but I actually thought that was kind of cool. I noticed that for my kid in particular, it was almost more fun playing against his teammates than playing with them. There was just that kind of extra level of fun and trash talking and, you know, pitching to each other and trying to get each other out that just really made it fun for them. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think if those people that didn't know that all those boys were from the same team probably thought they were crazy because they were hooting and hollering and, you know, harassing each other and having a good old time with it. So,
yeah, it was.
Don't you feel like too that if, you know, it would be so much fun to have them play together, but by splitting them up, if the next step moving forward is solely based on merit and their playing ability, it gave each of them a time to shine, because instead of being judged as a group in a team setting, they each had their own little moment to shine throughout each team.
I think that there's truth to that. And to be completely honest, Amber, I think that that aspect helped certain kids, my kid in particular, and maybe hurt other kids. And my example for that will be, from what I could tell, and this is, I guess, one of my questions that I have about game day events in general, it seemed like there was one really strong team down there where, like, almost from top to bottom, the kids were just extremely strong. There were two kids from our organization on that team. They ended up winning. There were two teams, including the team that Brenda and Stephanie's son played on, that were quite good, you know, fairly competitive. And then there was a fourth team that kind of seemed like it was like everybody else, you know, like you're in gym class and you're picking teams and it's like, these are the three teams we pick on. And then all the kids, for the most part, not all, but several of the kids that are left over. And I don't want to say that to try to be mean. It's just less experienced kids. When we looked these kids up going down there, like, most of them had never, you know, played in a USSSA game before or in a perfect game event before or anything like that. It was just kids that were used to playing at a little bit lower level of ball, maybe more rec level type thing. So anyway, my kid was on that team. We didn't have a coach or anything. So my husband ended up coaching that team, but we didn't do well. I believe we were mercyed every single game we played, but we'll talk about this later on. My kid did end up getting noticed at that event, but we felt like it was partly because, like, he looked really good on the team that he was on. You know what I mean? Like, if he had been on another team, would he have been noticed? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, so that was a really long answer. But yes, Amber, I think it did make a difference. If he had been on a team with all of his normal travel ball kids, I think it would have, could have looked completely different. So the event in Ohio, do you guys have anything else in particular to add about that, the Ohio event? Or, I mean, we pretty well covered it. It's, otherwise it was pretty much the same as Ann Arbor, right?
Well, for the exception that they didn't treat, well, what were we, the 13U division? Were we 13U?
I think we were still 12U then.
12U? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they did, like, some of the skills and the measurables, they didn't, like, I know the accuracy of the exit velo and the pitching were not close for a lot of the kids, what they normally throw or have, as well as, I think our group got gypped a little on the home run derby.
Because they were rushing through and...
Yeah, they ran out of time. And so I think they only... How many throws, pitches did they get? Wasn't it like
five?
Yeah, it was like very minimal.
It was.
Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, you're right. It was. And I didn't have anything to compare it to. But yes, to add on to what Brenda said, I don't know anything about exit velocity and how that's measured, but I know that a bunch of the dads were complaining about it and like, that's not how you measure that and that's not accurate, and their numbers were just like really weird. So yes, I would say if you were going there for super accurate measurables, you may have left disappointed. We didn't even go to the measurables event, so we kept my kid home because he was going to be pitching later that day, and my husband didn't feel like it was necessary to get him warmed up, throw as hard as he can, cool down, and then get warmed up and pitch. So he said, just stay home, sleep, come pitch later. So,
which I don't know if this is where you would want to talk about it or not, but when I asked about, you know, what is it that they look for when they give out the golden tickets and stuff, measurables was high on the list. Mm-hmm. So with the inaccuracies that there were, it's interesting how they, you know, chose the players that went on.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's a lot. There definitely are a lot of questions about how those players are chosen. And it seemed like, you know, when they were talking to the kids, they gave a host of reasons. It was like, attitude, behavior, performance, measurables, all these things, but it wasn't like they gave you a very tangible, you know, like, here's exactly the criteria we're looking for and whether you'll make it or not. We will talk a little bit more
Stephanie. I will say, I think there was people walking around, because didn't they also mention that too, that there were people centered at each field to also observe and to take notice?
There would have had to have been.
Because to be
completely honest with you, that's literally the only way that my kid would have been noticed was during the actual gameplay, because he did perform well during the games. But there's no other way that he would have been noticed just going based on that experience. And I don't mean that to be mean to my kid. I just know him and he shows up for games, and that's going to be where he's going to be noticed. It's not going to be during drill work or practices or measurables. So that's just what it is, what it is. So that pretty much covers the all-star event. So for game day, that's kind of like the first level of the events that you get into. After that, the next level would be the junior All-American games. And I could be wrong about this. So my information is just coming from what I've heard people say and kind of what I've inferred from game day's website, which is that the vast majority of the kids that are going to this were noticed at all-star events. And then after the all-star event, they were given an invite to the Junior All-American Games. However, I do believe you still can nominate your child for these events. And so Brenda Shake is nodding along with me. I don't know how many people do that. My guess is it's probably not many, but this in theory should kind of be the next level up in competition. So Brenda, since you guys did a Junior All-American game, why don't you talk just a little bit about that? How did that compare to the All-Star events with the level of competition, with the price, things like that?
We did do it when my son was 10U. We ended up, he did get an invite for the Junior All-American games. We ended up choosing, they can choose from four different locations. I believe it's either in Florida or Arizona. We chose to go to West Palm Beach in Florida. It was over Martin Luther King Day weekend in January. So it's more of a three-day event. And it was nice because they were able to go down and play at the training field for the Washington Nationals and Houston Astros, which was really neat to go to that facility. I would say in comparison to the All-Star games, it seemed like the competition was better, where you didn't feel so much like you had, you know, really elite kids versus, you know, those kids that might not be so skilled. So like that
more I balanced.
Thought, yeah, a lot more balanced. And the coach that he had was great. He did a phenomenal job of putting the kids where they should be, whether it be out in the field or, you know, in the batting order. It just seemed more like a team rather than just kind of showing up with a bunch of individuals and playing together.
And he went down there with a buddy, and the buddy request was granted. They were on the same team, correct?
Yes, they were. They were, okay. Which was really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And Amber, you had like a super brief experience with the All-American games, right? But unique. Is that the one I'm thinking of that was supposed to be over like Labor Day weekend last year?
So we were supposed to go down Labor Day weekend last year for a tournament and the hurricane hit, but I don't believe it was All-American Games. It was another golden ticket event. It was an actual tournament.
Oh, okay. Okay, I apologize. I misunderstood what that was. So, yeah, Brenda's got our one and only experience, I guess, with the All-American. And they did the same thing you said. They did the Home Run Derby and everything like that because our team's kids that went down there performed well, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I know we didn't get eliminated in the first bracket play game, but I don't remember what happened after that.
I thought I remembered that it kind of got rained out, but your team was ahead and I assumed they won and got a big ring. But
boy, isn't that sad? I don't remember. Must have not have been that memorable.
Yeah. Okay, so after the Junior All-American games, there's one more level, at least that I'm aware of, that you can do with the game day individual events, and that is their golden ticket event or their prospect event. And game day advertises that this is the one event that they offer that is invitation only. And if you just kind of talk to parents at this event, it's sort of controversial with people as to whether or not that's accurate. But it, I do know several instances of people that were interested based on people I talked to in Florida. And it does seem like they pretty well stick to the invite only. But I am going to back up here and I'm just going to share an experience from another teammate that we had at Panama City Beach for this prospect event. Because generally speaking, my understanding is the flow would be your child gets an MVP tag, they go to an all-star tournament. And then at the all-star tournament, they're either invited to the Junior All-American Games or they're invited to the prospect event. They could also get a prospect event or a golden ticket invite from their performance of the Junior All-American Games. Well, another mom, Shalanda, that was on my son's team in Panama City Beach, said that her son was at this exact same all-star event in Mason, Ohio. Mm. He was on the one team that didn't have any of our travel team's players on it, so I wasn't nearly as familiar with them. But he had signed up for that event super last minute because they happened to live in Mason and it was just really convenient. But he had never gotten an MVP tag. He had played in several game day tournaments, had performed extremely well, but just, you know, for one reason or another, because you don't have any control over who ends up getting that tag, the other team's coach determines who they want to give the tag to. And I happen to know someone from experience who said, I don't like deciding, you know, who the MVP is. It, you know, it's a team sport. I don't like picking one person out. So whoever, you know, gives me the best eye contact and shakes my hand the strongest is who I give my tag to. So in certain instances, it may or may not mean that's who performed the best. So for one reason or another, he hadn't ended up getting a tag. But the tournament director had noticed him and had said, you know, was that your son that pitched that game and hit the home run in another game? And she said, you know, yeah, that's him. And he said, did he ever end up getting an MVP tag? And she said, no. So he said, well, I'm the tournament director. I can give him an MVP tag. So he walked over to him, he found him, and he presented him with an MVP tag. And before they left, he gave him a direct invitation to Panama City Beach so he basically just gave him on the spot a golden ticket. I know. Wow. So that's not the traditional path, but that's how he ended up being invited. So it can happen in really strange, non-traditional ways, I guess you could say. But he did end up coming to the MVP event as well, just because it was in their hometown and they had other friends that were going there, you know, hoping to qualify, I suppose, for that golden ticket. So there are different ways to do it. And we also had somebody that was on our team in Florida, somebody else that was local, and he was a last minute fill-in player. So I'm sure this happens, especially this year with COVID and everything, you know, people are signed up and maybe they're in quarantine or just decide last minute for safety reasons that they don't feel comfortable coming. So I was told that game day was kind of desperate for fill-in players at the very last minute, asked local people. I have no idea what sort of qualifications they asked for or anything like that. I actually reached out to game day to see if they had any information to provide about how they choose these teams and coaches and everything. And I didn't get a response back. So I can just kind of guess here, but I will say that the one person that we had on our team that was a fill-in player was absolutely phenomenal. And I had no issues whatsoever with him filling in for our team. So, yeah, but for the most part, it does sound like it's invite only. And that was our experience with that. Okay. And Stephanie, didn't you have another story about somebody getting into the prospect event in a different, untraditional way, non-traditional way?
Yes. Another mom asked me how my son was put on the prospect team. And I said, well, just like everybody else, it was kind of random, even though it did have on there to put on a buddy system. And it did not happen with us. But she said her son and another kid was supposed to be on our team. And I was like, how do you do that? And she made it seem like it was an automatic thing. And she said, well, another dad just called down to get his kid into the tournament. And he had never played in a game day tournament, in the all-star event, nothing. He just called down and enrolled his kid. And so there was no golden ticket, no nothing, and expected to be put on a team, and just said, I know this family and they will vouch for me. And the family did not vouch for him. And so I think that's where a little bit of confusion came into play. So yeah, it was very weird to hear that, because I was like, what? This was supposed to be, you know, special golden ticket for the prospect teams. Invite only. Yeah, invite only.
Right. And since they're not here to defend themselves, I'll just say that there's at least a possibility that maybe they allowed that to happen because they were, you know, like looking that other parent said, kids. Looking yeah. for fill-in players. And it just kind of was like right place, right time.
Right.
You know, and it worked out. So, yeah, absolutely. Who knows? But so, yeah, I suppose there are different paths you can take. I'll say the kids that I saw, there were 5 game day teams and I really only personally watched 3 of them. We're all very legitimate, good ball players and, you know, and deserve to be there. You know, the process just is what it is. I don't know what else to say about it other than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So we're going to talk more about the prospect event or the golden ticket event in the following episode. So we're just going to leave that right there and switch gears just a little bit because we also wanted to talk about baseball youth. I actually didn't know this myself until recently that baseball youth and game day are both part of the same parent company. My understanding is they're probably just based in different areas. Game day is out of Illinois. I believe baseball youth is out of Kentucky. So they're very similar organizations. They both host events, things like that, like team events and tournaments, but then they also have individual events. So Amber is sort of our resident expert on baseball youth because that's what her son Gunner participated in this year. So, and I believe their first like level of individual games is called their All-American Games. And was that the first yes. event that Gunner participated in? So maybe talk a little bit about that yes. and, you know, how did he find that? How did that come to be?
So I can't remember specifically what tournament we were at because I didn't know about it until several months later because his dad never told me. He didn't feel it was important. But we were initially approached by a scout for baseball youth at one of our summer tribal tournaments. Now that you mentioned that they're affiliated, I want to say it was probably at a game day tournament. But it wasn't until we went down to play in Orlando for the Disney prospect team that we were then again approached by the same scout asking if Gunner would please come play at the All-American Games. And it appeared to us as parents and to our son as a player that baseball youth appeared to be a little bit more organized, a little bit more competitive. And we really didn't have the greatest of experience in Orlando for the Golden Ticket event, which we'll talk about later. And so we said, sure, we'll come play and we'll see what it's all about. And then it was really a wonderful experience, especially compared to like the All-Star game day version. It was fantastic. I mean, I don't know how much you want me to talk about it, but I will share whatever you want.
Okay. Well, maybe sure. just talk a little bit about, you said compared to that, it was fantastic. Like what was different? Was it the competition? Was it the number of games they played? Was it the coaching? Like what did you notice differences in?
So basically, hang on. I'm sorry about that. I got distracted by a text message. Oh. this is really interesting. I thought, okay, so, you know, like with game day, you have like a 10U, an 11U, a 12U, a 13U, 8U, different right. age bracket. When we did the All-American Games, it was 11, 12, and 13U teams oh. like combined.
Oh, they like all played together. Okay.
Yeah. So in that particular division that he played in, Gunner could not speak more highly about the coaches. They were younger college kids and they were charismatic. They were fun. They were aggressive. You know, we've all come across coaches in our parent time that are like in it for the love of the sport, you know, extremely knowledgeable and extremely passionate. And then you have those who are great coaches, but take it so serious that they can't maybe necessarily connect and bond with the kids. And he was just thrilled with the coaching staff, like could not stop talking about how incredible they were. I think it's really kind of cool too, because, you know, in our little league, you play with a wider age range of kids, right? Instead yes. of just, you know, that particular age group. And I think it pushes the younger kids to play harder when they're playing up with these older boys. So that was kind of a cool experience. And they did skills as well there. They based on hitting and fielding and pitching. And his team actually took second in their division for 11, 12, and 13-year-olds. And they had a ring. He brought home a ring. So it wasn't just like the medal from the All-Star tournament that Game Day offered. He had a nice ring, just like we have gotten for USSSA and all those other tournaments. And he also won a Silver Slugger Award, which, you know, like for me was surprising because while he's consistent with his hitting for the most part, he's not a home run hitter. He, I mean, at 12U or excuse me, 11U was the first time he ever got a home run, period. So they had an awards ceremony at the end with, you know, it just was like, it felt like an elite event. It didn't feel like, you know, just a little come show up, play, let's see what you have to offer. What I found interesting was, so after we played in the All-American Games, it was almost immediate that Gunnar got asked to be on the elite team moving forward towards Panama City. And we made friends with another little boy's parents who Gunnar played with for Game Day in Orlando last year. And he played in the same thing, but in a different city. And he was not asked to be on the elite team. And so, which we were kind of bummed because we were looking forward to possibly playing together, but for baseball youth. So not that I don't think my son's the greatest baseball player in the world, but this kid was equally as talented as him and he didn't get the invite. So it almost makes me wonder as far as like how you are drafted. They followed us in Orlando and then he played and he did well in Kentucky at the All-American Games, but immediately he got that invite to be on the elite team. So overall, I would say it seemed very well organized, very fun, and the coaching was phenomenal.
Okay. And so basically the elite, the baseball youth elite is the equivalent to the Game Day prospect team, right? Like basically it's two different versions of the same thing.
Yep.
Okay. And so, well, again, we'll talk about this in the next episode, but Gunnar went down and played in the same tournament, the New Year's Eve Baseball Fest. He was with Baseball Youth. Stephanie's son and my son were there with Game Day USA, and Brenda's son was there with his local travel ball team that went down. So we'll go into that more in our next episode.
Please rate us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Moms and Baseball.
We also just created a brand new Facebook group called Parents in Baseball. We'd love you to come. Please join us there. Share it with all your baseball friends and family. We'd like this to be a forum for asking questions, getting advice. So this, we hope for this to go way above and beyond just our podcast listeners and be a great little group for baseball parents, coaches, players to connect.
Have fun at the fields.
We'll see you next week.